This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Cravings podcast with Pete Dillon, online at joy.org.au/cravings and live Saturdays from 1 p.m. on Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. Exploring all that's finest in food and beverage across Melbourne and Victoria. Sponsored by La Spaghettata. Over 35 years of food, family and fun at 238 Lygon Street, Carlton. Wine and dine with La Spaghettata for an authentic Italian experience. Pasta, wine, seafood, steak and so much more. Dine in and enjoy the authentic sights and sounds of Lygon Street. Or order takeaway now via Deliveroo, Uber Eats or Foodora. Eat, drink, love with La Spaghettata. Call 9663 6102. Visit laspaghettata.com.au or find them on Facebook.
Welcome to today's edition of Cravings. My name is Tad Lombardo, and we're in the studio today. I've got a very special guest with us. I have Tan Doe with me, and he is one of Melbourne's premier food bloggers. And we're going to be talking all things food and everything in between. So let's get started. Let's get straight into it. Tell us about your ride to be from engineering. And mm-hmm. shifting through to what you're doing now.
So basically, I did an engineering degree as well as a science degree when I first went to university.
Yep.
And like most people, just went on and started working engineering. A friend of mine sort of suggested that I, you know, start a food blog because I was always leaving all my food reviews on my Facebook page.
Right.
And he said everyone was sick of starting to see that all the time, that the dedicated audience that wanted to read it could go to the blog instead.
Yep.
So he basically helped me set up a food blog, from which point I started writing in actually with five other people.
Okay.
But after about a month, they all gave up and went, you know, no time, can't be bothered. So I ended up writing all by myself and sort of like just took it over. So I guess in the early days, like food blogging wasn't really heard of. No one even
right.
knew what it was about. I would rock up to a restaurant, you know, try to discreetly take a photo of the food I ate
right.
and go back and write about it. And yeah, and that's where it started.
So you were always very interested in food,
very
even,
much
even
so.
During that point yeah. of engineering.
Yeah, yeah, always.
I think we kind of share that
yes.
that part of it, both pre-engineers.
Mm.
And when was it that you actually decided, okay, I'm ready to do this and kind of try to shift from, you know, regular paycheck
yeah,
to not.
Yeah, I guess at the beginning, and I never even contemplated it. It was more that there was an explosion of food. I guess it was the whole MasterChef effect
yep.
when that show came on. Suddenly food became something that was cool and something
right.
that the whole general public talked about. But at that point, it was still more just a hobby that, you know, it was good because you get invited to a few things, you get to
yeah.
see, you know, and try different things. It was only a couple of years ago where a chance meeting with a friend's friend. So I went up to Sydney for a random sort of dinner party for my friend Angie. So she jokingly sent me an email going, I'm doing a dessert party, which I love. And she goes, come along. And I said, sure thing. If there's somewhere to stay, I'm going. She said there was. I bought a ticket. A few days later, I'm up in Sydney. I'm sitting next to one of Angie's friends. We start talking. She tells me that she's running a business by sort of utilizing, you know, aspects of social media, utilizing sort of digital, you know, sort of marketing. And then came back to Melbourne and by chance looked at Twitter, which I'm, you know, not often, but saw a job ad for a part-time social media manager, went for the role, got that role, and it sort of escalated from there.
So did you know pretty much early on that social media was going to be a big part of it, or?
I didn't, actually. Like, it was more, I thought there was maybe like something to do just as a part-time job.
Okay.
Like, so I was still an engineer at the time. Yep. Yeah. So I was just doing it part-time because it was something interesting that I was already genuinely, you know, sort of myself interested in, because I would read so many articles. And like yourself, I would take the engineering approach to things and work out why is it that it does this, you know, so run experiments and look at, you know, trialing different things. So from a understanding of the platforms rather, you know, so that sort of just was something I was interested in. And I thought if I can make some extra money, you know, where's the harm in that?
Absolutely.
So that sort of kept going for a year until it sort of came to a head where I couldn't do both. There just wasn't enough time.
Yep.
I was effectively working two jobs for a year and I was so tired.
It's kind of like the both sides of your head fighting it out.
Yes, which one's going to win. Like, so it just sort of kept fighting and colleagues would tell me, oh, you should stay. You know, it's such a, I'm in a safe job. It's well paying and all this other stuff. But at some point I just went, I got to give this a go or I'll never know.
Were you unhappy doing the engineering?
Or was I was unhappy. Right. Like I liked aspects of it. Yep. So I liked the analytical aspect of my role. I liked the management aspect.
Yep.
But there were other things that, you know, it wasn't for me. Like it wasn't, it was a good job. It wasn't like I hated it, but it wasn't like I really, really loved it.
Yeah.
And then so I thought I'm going to try it. And I guess a year and 3 months later, it's all working out pretty well.
So it's only just, it's only been about a year and 3 months.
It's been, where I've quit my job full time.
Officially, right?
Yeah, officially. Because I was doing that for a year before that, sort of running both things, as nowadays a lot of small business owners do, like
Definitely.
Run two parallel things. So then a year when I quit, thought about it, and I thought, I'm starting my own business called Crackling Media. So Paul Crackling.
Cool, I like that. It's not sweet, though.
No, it's not. I do also like savory foods, like especially roast pork.
I'm
like,
same with you, yeah.
So that's now, going pretty well. So.
Good. And when you've, just thinking about the time when you first started, which, you know, even before changing over, you know, a year and 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Is there anything you do differently, knowing what you know now?
Yes, I think we've learnt, I say we all the time now, I've learnt as well, a lot about the business aspect of trying to utilize all these platforms or what you want to do with them. So at the beginning, it was just about a lot of fun.
Right.
Like, you know, let's just do this and if it
see
works.
Where it goes.
Yeah, it's great. If it doesn't, it doesn't matter.
But there are a lot of platforms you have to manage with
the
social media, isn't there?
So social media is one aspect where there is a lot of things that you got to keep on top of.
Yep.
And some things will work for different people and some things won't.
Right.
Depending on what they're doing.
Yeah.
Obviously, as we're specializing in just sort of food and hospitality, they tend to be similar in the sense of the platform itself, you know, it would be okay for across many different businesses. But yeah, definitely learned a lot this last year just in terms of the business side.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's again, it's something that's always changing as well. It's not just once you've learned that, that's the way it's going to be forever.
Yeah.
It's because the food world changes so quickly.
Exactly.
And what would you say are some of the biggest hurdles have been for you as far as overcoming, could be anything, you know, to get you to the point where now you're in a position where you have given up your full-time job from before, and now you're probably working double time now, which...
Yes, like, you know, definitely.
I know
now
that
I'm
all too well.
More hours than I've ever worked.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, so I guess the hurdles is, again, understanding how you can utilize things for a business purpose, you know, and effectively, ultimately, showing your clients that, you know, they're getting a return for their, you know, investments.
Yeah.
You have to, because it's not just about we're going to have fun with this.
Right.
Fun's one element, but, you know, they're running a business in the end.
Yeah,
so
you have to do your KPI and make sure.
You do. So you got to treat it, as I learned from the corporate world, very much like a business.
Yep. Well, it is.
It is a business.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, people pay money for something. They expect something back for it.
Yeah,
absolutely. And it's one of those hard things to manage sometimes that you to make, you know, to make sure that the client's expectation meets
exactly
what you've discussed.
And, so again, it's that you've hit the nail on the head. You got to set up what the expectations are.
Yep. And be very clear.
And be very clear. Yeah. Don't oversell it.
Yeah.
You know, don't undersell yourself.
Right.
But also don't oversell it where
yeah.
you know, their expectation is up here and what you know that you're going to deliver is sort of, you know, mid-range here because of just the setup and whatever else is happening.
Absolutely.
There.
And with, like, for example, your Instagram account, mm-hmm. you've got over 50,000 followers, which is amazing. You know, did that take a long time to develop? I mean, or is that something
I guess I was already blogging for a long time prior
before,
to that.
Right.
So to me, it was about just giving people like content that
right.
was, you know, something that I always wanted myself because mm-hmm. I was like reading blogs every day.
Yeah.
I would read 2 hours of, you know, blogs
right.
trying to, you know, absorb lots of information.
Yeah.
So to me, it was about always providing people with information.
Right.
As we talked about previously, like the imagery helps.
That's something else I want to talk about. Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, like some of the images that you have, that you've posted are just beautiful. I mean, they're stunning pictures of whatever it is that you've taken and you're able to capture that perfect moment.
Yeah. So a friend of mine lent me a photography book, which changed the way I looked at everything.
Right.
Because the book was more about, oh, there's no such thing as reality, because if you change the shutter, you know, speed, or you change
yep.
something else, you've changed how it looks completely.
Yes.
So it's not about the technicalities of shooting a photo. It's about, and even not about what's real in inverted commas.
Yep.
It's about capturing what the mood of that photo you're trying to project is. Yep. So
what the motive side
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, so what it sounds cliche, but what is it you're trying to emote from
yep.
that photo
yep.
that will drag someone in and make them like take a second glance at it? Sometimes it's the content alone is strong enough
yep.
that it could be a bad photo, but because there's, you know, 50 burgers in the shot, that's already going to capture someone. Sometimes yep. it's the quality of the photos.
Yep.
And I guess now with the affordability of sort of digital cameras and
yep.
even with your phone, you know, I've seen awesome
the
stuff
quality of that
shot.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the quality of that, you can produce something that looks brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, without having to invest in a $10,000 camera and, you know, these lenses.
That's right.
And all that.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, like it's more about what you've plated something on and taken the photo of or you know.
Yeah, capturing what is that vibe of that moment that you're trying to tell somebody else.
Yeah. So do you have a lot of props at home and or not?
I wouldn't say that a lot. I've seen other people and their whole room yeah. full. But I have
an excuse to buy homewares.
Some. Yeah, it is an excuse to buy a lot of homewares. But I do have some and
yep.
you'll switch it around and depending on, like, again, what is the feeling that I'm trying to get out
yeah.
of this photo, that I'll then pick that
yep.
item. Yeah.
That's great. And obviously if it's something that you're doing for a client, you'll consult with them and see what they want
definitely.
And what they want to get out of it as well from
yeah.
from the imagery and
exactly because they'll have very different objectives
yeah.
and again we would definitely send them like, you know, upfront sort of what we call mood photos, like
yep.
here's what we feel it feels like
yeah
tell us if it's not and we'll
keep, yep.
and then we'll go from there yeah.
That's cool. And do you still get people, now that you're doing this full time, or double time, I should say, because I get this, I get people, oh, how nice is that you're still, you know, you're doing your hobby as your job.
And it's like, well, yes,
it's
a lot, actually.
Hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's much more than a hobby. I
yeah.
think,
people confuse it as still like a hobby and go,
yeah.
it's actually not. It is and it isn't. It
yeah.
is, as in one aspect, I still dine out a lot
yes.
and eat a lot of things. Like,
yep.
I love your chocolates. I love, you know, pastries.
You.
I yep. love cakes.
Yeah.
So there is one element of that.
Yep.
But the other element, it is a job, so you got to be professional as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it is currently 27 degrees in Melbourne. The sun is shining, which is nice. Today's the Grand Prix weekend is happening as well. But we are going to be talking more with Tondo and asking more questions.
Hey there, it's Jace, head of Joy Production, here to talk up our Joy podcast service. Last month, our community downloaded around 34,000 Joy podcasts. Check them out when you get a bit of downtime and find out why our audience is loving what's on offer. Visit joy.org.au/podcasts to view our most recently posted episodes. Head to iTunes or your podcast app to find your favorite program. A mix of content you might have missed live and a range of fresh podcast material you'll only find on podcast. It's easy to subscribe to the program of your choice, whether you're viewing at joy.org.au or on your phone, which means you won't miss any future episodes. Get away from your busy day. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and via iTunes.
Welcome back to Cravings. My name is Tad Lombardo, and in the studio with me today, I have Tan Do, and Pete Dillon has the day off today. He's hopefully up in Noosa enjoying the sun, but I spoke to him this week and it's actually raining up there, but that's all right. I also just wanted to let you know my mother in New Jersey is listening. She sent an email through, so she says hello. And if anyone would like to ask Tan any questions, you can email us on air at joy.org.au, or you can send an SMS at 0427-JOY-949. Tan, getting back to the sort of the questions we were talking about, the clients and things like that, and dealing with what they want and what they don't want.
Yep.
Do you find, I guess the question is, have you had any demanding clients? You don't have to mention any names, but, you know, and how do you deal with that? I mean, obviously you try to be very clear about what it is you're going to do for them.
That's right.
But invariably sometimes people don't necessarily listen and have other ideas, right, which they might not have discussed. And how do you deal with that in the context of sort of the services that you offer through your business?
I guess in the early days, probably a lot more went wrong because, again, it wasn't about setting up the expectations.
And that's trial and error, a learning curve too,
definitely,
isn't it?
From learning. But nowadays, it's less so. And occasionally, if they're demanding, it's because probably they know their business more than you, which is true.
Yep.
But there's also sometimes a balance of just differences of ideas.
Sure.
So you want to be pushing your thoughts, but not to the point where, you know, if they're very adamant that this must be done this way, you can ask why and get to the base of why they want to do it that way, and possibly there's another way to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they are the client ultimately. If they're going to do something that jeopardizes their brand, of course, we'd stop them and go, you know, I really strongly, you know, recommend you don't do that.
Yeah.
But, like one client, he won't mind that I mentioned this. So, so Jim Manilis at the Grain Emporium. We finished some work on a website for him.
Yeah.
And after we looked at it, he went back and said, oh, I don't like the header photo. And at the time, he liked it. And he pushed back to like change it. And we were like, oh, but we think the other one's already quite good. But ultimately, in the end, when we redid it the way that he wanted, it was a much, much better sort of result. So it was better to, you know, go through that push and pull, get the actual result that everyone's happy with.
And I guess it's also, you know, I know for myself too, it's just acknowledging that need or question or whatever is there and fixing, because you want the customer to be happy at the end of the day.
That's right.
To come back. And
it's, as you know, with your own work, it's hard to be objective. So you tend to think that was really good already, but sometimes it takes somebody else external to tell you, so
that's
you can
right.
step back and really analyze it and go, hey.
And not be defensive about it. That's the part too. Just, you know, and that other person might be wrong. It's just
that's right.
working it out and saying, okay, I'm going to listen to that other opinion of it. We've got a question that's just been emailed through. I'll read it out to you and you can see about responding. There are lots of rules when it comes to social media, when to post, hashtags, length of caption, etc. Which one should we ignore? Which one should we pay attention to?
Ooh, that's a hard one.
Yeah.
I think it all boils down to what your purpose is. I mean, are you trying to run a business?
Yep.
Are you trying to get more followings for whatever reason, for ego, for perceived, you know, nowadays, free stuff?
Yes. Because
that's, you know, brands are starting to leverage off social media users. So whether what you do, it's about being quite consistent.
Yep.
So to me, it's about presenting a consistent brand,
yes.
be it yourself. You can be many facets of person, but, you know, you can show all those facets, but still not sort of jump and change where it's something that you're not.
And so it becomes confusing.
Yeah, so it becomes confusing about what is this person about. What when to post, I guess with the new algorithms,
yes,
you know, it sort of changes like what is a good time to post. But if you post probably early in the morning, it sort of gets caught in a lot of the other stuff that's happened through the night.
Yeah,
you might want to post, you know, midday, so sort of like nighttime when people are free and sort of like looking at their phones.
I've heard 7 p.m. is a good time.
Yeah,
so
that's a good time as any. So the length of caption, I love writing captions because I feel it adds to the photo or it provides something to discuss and more content. I know, like, if you're Beyonce, you just post the photo and that's
what
it.
Exactly.
But for me, I love writing a caption and sort of projecting what I feel about it, because again, I'm very opinionated and I write a lot of those into the caption.
But it's also a channel of expression, and that's the whole thing.
Yeah, the photo is one channel.
Yeah.
And a photo does say 1,000 words, but sometimes it just can't say everything.
That's right.
So I like to write a lot in the caption.
No, you, and I love what you write. And I think, you know, you can use your creative writing and you can be witty and clever or serious or not.
I try to always be mostly funny. And occasionally I'll be very serious and talk about a topic like... back when there was the whole algorithm change about, you know, Instagram is going to change all this thing.
Feeds, yep.
I wrote a really, really long post about it, which, you know, a lot of people reacted to, because I just wanted to put my own opinion about what would happen and what would change and what does it affect, you know. So it comes back to, what is your purpose? If you just want to share things that your friends react to and a few other people who think the same as you or like that type of thing, it doesn't really matter what, you know, when, what. So what is your purpose to doing something?
And I think too, and we've talked about this before prior to today and when we were talking about what we're going to discuss, you know, just because you have a huge amount of followers, it doesn't necessarily translate into cash. You know, a lot of people, I think, make that misconception about that.
Yeah, so there's a lot of misconception about that.
Yeah.
Everyone can be like a Kim Kardashian and leverage off, you know, their social media to make a living. It, from what I've seen, it's pretty hard. Like,
it's an exception as opposed to a rule.
It's
isn't
pretty
it?
Much, yeah. And even for her, she's very clever about running her business around that.
Sure.
From the TV show to fashion lines and her app, even. Her app sold like 6 million copies or something at a couple of bucks, you know. So it's about getting your foot in the door, if that's what you want to do down that path, and you can then utilize that to just talk to whoever. But from that point onwards, you got to demonstrate to them that you're still capable of doing whatever it is that they are wanting, you know. So
to value add to what,
what they're already doing. So
That's interesting, and I guess too, it's also in the food world where things change so quickly, and obviously technology changes so quickly too. It's kind of this. I feel like there's this race all the time. We're trying
it is
to keep
a race.
Up to it,
I feel exactly the same. Yeah. So, I've written about this, how it's changed what people eat or their eating habits, because of nowadays, if you see something somewhere, there's no longer an original idea, because within 2 seconds, somebody else has done it, and then it becomes mass, and then it becomes like cliche.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, everyone's doing that. I don't want that. So the cycles of trends are so fast now. It's so hard to keep up. Literally, something will be hot for 2 months and then everyone's moved on. Yeah, it's not.
Exactly.
So it's definitely changed our habits in terms of like when we eat and how we eat, because there's a proliferation of, you know, cafes in Melbourne especially.
Sure.
Because the visuals of shooting in good lighting just looks better than the most brilliant, you know, Michelin plated food in dark lighting
that
looks like a pile of something.
Whatever, yeah.
So it's really changed what chefs have done in terms of sometimes cooking for the looks rather than for the taste.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting.
Because if you're not shocking someone or you're not showing them something that will capture their eyes first, you won't get them.
You won't get that, yeah. And I guess too, it's also, you had mentioned how it changes people's behavior. Even going to a restaurant, you know, you see people with with their cameras or their iPhones out and spending so much time trying to get the perfect shot. And it's like, well, your food's getting cold. You're
that's
not enjoying
right.
it. And
that's right.
It's, you know, so it's kind of creates that whole other side of it as well.
Yeah. So I've probably gone full circle with that.
Have you?
Yeah. I was at the start, like taking forever, trying to shoot everything. Lately, I went to many, many meals where I didn't even take a single shot of the food, because I want to enjoy it and be in this moment with whoever I'm eating with.
Because the menu is a bit of I don't like using this word, but it's a bit of a journey, and there's a story behind it, and you want to, you know, understand that and not be distracted by that.
So less and less so am I, like, or even if I shoot something, I'll shoot one photo and I won't be like trying to get the perfect shot. At home, where there's more time, like, given that, you know, I'm not interrupting anyone, I'm just in my own house, I will take a little bit longer, but even then my patience isn't that long to, like,
just take the damn photo.
That's it. So it has changed how people, which is good, because they're sharing something they're doing, but you can go too far in some points as well, where
it's disruptive.
It's disruptive for especially the people that you're there with. If they agree and they want to do the same, it's probably okay. But if your other friends are sitting there going, I really want to eat this now when it's hot. Like,
that's right. Yeah.
It does get disruptive.
Yeah. And even too, to the point where I was having dinner the other night and with a friend and he took a photo and the flash was on and it's just this boom, you know, and it's kind of like, you know.
Lights up the room.
Yeah, it does. And it's just sort of disruptive to other people. Yeah. So, I mean, it was just one of those things where it happens. And because everybody's got a phone today and, you know, some 10 megapixel camera on it and that sort of thing, it's everybody wants to kind of keep that memory going.
Yep.
I've got a question for you. Everybody, we come on to Cravings, we try to ask the same question just to see where you're at. What would be your secret food shame?
I think my secret food shame is a very open, like, secret food shame, because I...
Is it?
Yeah, I love eating Spam. And I post
that?
Spam, canned, like, ham meat.
No. Really?
And yeah, I genuinely love it.
So, I know what you're getting for Christmas this year.
Buy me every flavor, because I've recently bought bacon flavored Spam.
Really? Does it? Where do you even buy it?
You can buy the bacon one was from a general supermarket, but like there's Korean Spam.
Really?
There's like, I'm trying to get my hand on some Hawaiian Spam. Like,
what's Hawaiian Spam? Pineapple in it?
No, just different. It's just from Hawaii. Like, just different brands.
Just different ingredients. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So
that's amazing.
When I post about it a lot, but when I posted one in particular and I met up with my friend Barney from the Grand Hotel in Richmond, he thought I was being funny and joking. Right. He goes, you don't really like that. How could you like food at Vudemon and also like Spam? I'm going, well, food to me is food and you can like anything. There's no rules.
No, there's no rules. So,
whereas people try Spam. To assign whether something's now good or clean or dirty. I was like, food is just food.
Well, it just is at the end of the day.
If you enjoy it, just
eat it. And it's processed. I guess it's in anything in moderation, you'll be okay.
That's it.
Oh, well, it's out there now, so there's no going back. And maybe they can contact you about doing a few things. You never know. But actually, I'd like to do the history of Spam. It's been around for a long time, actually. Yeah. Probably dates back to like World War II or something.
Yeah,
it's one of those things. All right, well, it's currently 26 minutes past the hour. It's 27 degrees in Melbourne. We're expecting, it says a top of 26, but that can't be right. Anyway, we are going to be back with more questions and a bit more fun.
Cravings will be back shortly, so don't go too far. But if you do miss anything, you'll hear it on the Cravings Podcast at joy.org.au/cravings via iTunes or your favourite podcast site. Sponsored by La Spaghettata. Over 35 years of food, family and fun at 238 Lygon Street, Carlton. Wine and dine with La Spaghettata for an authentic Italian experience. Pasta, wine, seafood, steak and so much more. Eat, drink, love with La Spaghettata. Call 9663-6102. Visit laspaghettata.com.au or find them on Facebook.
Okay, this is Cravings, and we are back in the studio today. We have Tando and Tando. Sorry, it's my American accent. I'm sorry, I can't help it.
Right.
We're talking about his life as a food blogger, and I should probably more say you're more journalist, like food journalist, than a food blogger in a way.
Oh, I don't know. No? My writing's pretty shocking.
No. But I think what you do is more about talking about your experiences and
I guess that's what, social media affords everyone.
Yeah, I think it's, but you've taken to a different degree and or to a different level.
Mm.
And I think it's something that it makes the food world quite interesting and also, you know, trends and things like that happen, you know, you bring those to the forefront with your work. And
I have two feelings about that. Yep. So one, definitely true, because you know, like nobody's going to write about the cheap eats places in Springvale at my local joints, you know.
Right.
So it allows others to see a different perspective from what you would think of normally as traditional food writing in the media, where usually it's about high-end places, it's about popular places. So that's definitely been a plus with social media, because I've found out about so many places to go to and eat.
That are amazing.
So many
as well.
Cultures or recipes that I never, ever knew about. Yep. So I now make this this Filipino cake called a ube macapuno cake, because I first had it at Dahon Tea House, which was owned by my friend Cherry.
Right.
Okay. So that blew my mind, and I instantly messaged her and said, give me a recipe. And she goes, oh, it's a secret recipe from my cousin or something, but here's a blog you can look at. So that's definitely opened up my eyes in terms of, you know, what's available. But the other aspect is, like, I guess the negative, slightly negative side of social media, and this might not necessarily relate to food, but just to everything in general, is that every opinion becomes a valid opinion. So
everyone's a critic.
Everyone's a critic, and you can have an opinion. I'm not saying you can't, but you can also have an ill-informed opinion.
Absolutely.
So if you think something's raw, like if you say, oh, this chicken, for example, is raw, even though the chef sous vide it for 3 hours at, you know, 65 degrees, it's cooked. It's definitely cooked. It's not about... So then that opinion, you can have that opinion, but is it really valid? You know,
Exactly. And I think it's true. It's the same thing with, you know, these sites where people can go and put their
reviews on.
And, you know, I have to read quite a few of those with different hats that I wear. Well, it can certainly hurt a business for sure. And especially if it's not true or not valid.
That's
and,
right.
You know, I always think it's like any situation, you know, you bring that grievance you have to the business first.
If you're in a bad mood, you're going to have a bad meal.
That's right. Exactly. But also too, if you're having a problem, resolve it with them first.
Yes.
Don't just say, oh, I'm going to give them a bad review because blah, 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 blah.
That's right.
You know, I think it's important to resolve a problem first so you can understand, okay, that chicken was, you know, in a sous vide for 3 hours. It is actually
cooked.
It might look pink, but it's cooked.
It's cooked.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's right. So, and I think that's the...
That's the slight negative side
absolutely,
of it.
Absolutely.
Like, no one's saying you can't have an opinion,
no.
but suddenly the opinion is aired possibly to a very large audience.
Right.
And it's not necessarily correct.
Right.
You know, or you haven't got all the information. So
absolutely. Yeah. And that's why too, when you know, I know a lot of people before they go to a restaurant, you know, especially if it's lesser known, you know, they'll look at the reviews. And, you know, I think it's important to say, okay, if you've got two reviews about someplace and it's not, you know, that's negative.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean
it's bad.
You know,
bad,
it might have just been two people reviewed it. That was it.
Exactly.
You know, you need a pool of
studies have shown, like, when you have a bad, like, meal, I think there's a, like, 10 times more likely, you know, outcome that you're going to review it as opposed to when you have something good. You just take it as that's how it should be. So I'm
absolutely
not going to bother.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, too, it's also, like, just with Melbourne's food scene and you know, how it's such a vibrant scene, I think. But I also think, you know, people such as yourself help make it that. You help create that vibe, even though it's true and it's real. That helps bring all of it to the surface.
I definitely agree. That side, being able to have lots of voices that never would have got a hearing, and their opinions or even just what they do at home, it adds to, you know, how exciting it is in Melbourne, because we're such a multicultural state.
Yeah.
And there's... I mean, I remember being in Paris and I wanted to eat good Thai food, and I bumped into a Thai person and we both looked for 5 hours for a good Thai restaurant in the middle of Paris, and we were like going, what's going on? Like, why can't we find one?
Yeah.
Whereas here, one night you could be eating, you know, Japanese, and the next night you're eating Greek, and then you're eating, like, you know, Lebanese food.
And not have to go very far to find all of those things.
Walk to the next restaurant next door.
That's right. Yeah. And it's incredible. Absolutely.
It's incredible.
And that's one of the things about Melbourne. We talked about this on the show before too, is that you can still get good quality food for not a lot of money.
For very little money.
You know, absolutely.
Exactly.
So it's still very good value.
Yep.
And it's that's one of the things I love about Melbourne.
Me too.
For sure.
Me too.
And that's probably, well, I know that's one of the reasons why, like, the 50 Best Awards that are coming up in April are being held in Melbourne.
So exciting.
It's very exciting.
Two of my friends, Aaron and Iowa, are going, and they're like,
cool.
They're like, oh, can't wait.
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
I'm going too. And
yeah,
I can't wait either,
I'm so jealous of all of you.
I'll take lots of videos.
I will watch them in live, in real time, like, replying.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be a lot of live feeds
find
on
Heston,
Facebook.
Go
yeah,
find
exactly. He'll be stalked by everyone with one of the live videos. But no, so that'll be a great thing, not just for Melbourne, but for Australia as well. It'll showcase a lot of the
what
the,
we do the, here. Exactly. I mean, it's a shame that there's no, not yet, any recognized Michelin restaurants here, but really that's just about them not sending reviewers here.
Exactly.
You know, yet.
It being,
it doesn't
quote
reflect
unquote
the
too
quality
far. Exactly.
Of the food that's available here.
Not at all. That's right. And I think, yeah, it's interesting with that, that whole system of ratings. We have our own, obviously. We've got the chef hats that sort of take care of that. But that's sort of more local as opposed to global.
Yes.
And we never really get to showcase things until now, like with these sorts of
awards.
It's a great opportunity to do that and to showcase what we have here in Australia, not just
Definitely.
Melbourne. So it's going to be quite exciting. And
very. So jealous.
Yeah, I know. And it's just interesting that the world chefs are coming, converging on Melbourne, and should be pretty amazing. So
it will be.
We'll be talking a lot about that, obviously.
Find out where Heston's staying so I can stalk him.
Okay, I'll let you know. So from your point of view, in doing what you're doing, did you have any mentors or anybody who you looked up to that you felt that's an inspiration for me to do it? Or was it just... I think on the
social media front, it was just more like I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But definitely from the business perspective, like I said at the beginning, I wasn't doing everything right and had a lot of sleepless nights and a lot of problems. So definitely I would recommend this to anyone. If you can find business mentors, they don't need to be in the same field, but they definitely will help you. You'd be surprised what you can get out of them, speaking to them for an hour or...
Yeah.
So... There's two people that I normally go to. So my friend Justin and this other person that I got through my local council.
Oh, okay.
So they helped me. But then there was a chance meeting where I was at the Australian Open Tennis because I won some tickets through a competition, through an Instagram competition of all things. When I sat down, I accidentally spilt wine all over. never hold a whole, so embarrassing, over the person in front of me. And then the original person sitting next to me saw and swapped seats with the person next to them, who turned out to be the Dulux CEO.
Okay.
And we talked all night because he's a scientist. So we chatted all night about geeky stuff. And right at the end, I go, oh, just in case, here's my business card. He got his chief marketing person to contact me.
Yep.
And again, I went in so naive thinking, oh, I can do all the work for them. 45 minutes later, I went, okay, there's so much to learn. So that 45 minutes was so invaluable that
Absolutely.
I put down to making me really reconsider what is it that you're doing and how you're approaching it.
Yep. And I think it's a lot of...
chance meetings.
Well, chance meetings, but it's also learning how to translate the skills you already have in one industry...
To another.
And that's the hard part. And it's totally
so
possible.
Key. It's funny you say that because my engineering friends, friend John, he always used to say the one thing that will set you apart in even this food field is that you've got this analytical engineering mind and you want to look at data and analyze it and see exactly this.
I do.
What temperature does this chocolate need to get
exactly.
at to get the perfect so you got to try it and then analyze the data.
Yeah.
Because if you don't look at the data, you're just making guesses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And engineers don't like to make
guesses
at all.
We make more
educated guesses.
Educated guesses. Yeah. Exactly.
With known outcomes.
Exactly.
That's how that works. and that's the other side of it too. You kind of have to let go of those sorts of things a little bit.
Some aspects,
definitely. Like, when I started working with chocolate, it helped me.
The feel. You got to go with what
Well, that's right.
You
and
can feel and...
That's right. But it was helpful to have that
framework.
System,
yeah,
the framework, the procedure, the trial and error, which
that's
is
right.
what engineering is about. And but then there's other times where you have to learn to let that go and say, okay, it doesn't matter if it fits within this whatever it is, but
this mold.
Yeah, that mold. Yeah. No pun. But it's just important that you get the outcome, and there's other ways of getting that.
That's
it doesn't have to be a specific process.
True.
And
that I found a bit harder to
let go
of that rigidity that sometimes you go, actually you gotta go with without the structure in place.
Yeah, and without necessarily having the outcome known.
Yes.
Well. So it's just the trying of things and being confident in what you do and what you
That's it. So that's the other thing that I've learned through this whole thing is to be more confident in your own opinions and your own ideas and to really voice them rather than to go, oh, I'm not an expert in this field. But no one starts out as an expert in this field.
That's right. Definitely.
It's all just from learning.
Yeah. And also, I think that in your mind, you have to set that there really are no failures, just learning experiences.
Definitely.
And And yes, everyone defines their own success differently.
Yeah.
But it's just that thing of failing, or that fear of failure, which I have that, you know.
I think anybody works on themselves. I have less of that now.
Yeah.
I used to have a lot of that. And I've seen people now with a lot of that where the fear, you know, sort of stops them from doing so many things.
And it also stops them from, I know for myself, from enjoying that moment of hard work, and you know, and you're so focused, and which is great, but you also
got to celebrate the wins.
Yeah, exactly. Or just celebrate the fact that you're doing what you love to do.
That's
and just celebrate being and you know, kind of put that kind of pursuit of happiness or whatever it is on hold and just be. And you know, I think that's really quite important.
We're getting very philosophical.
We are, but we do that here. It's quite interesting when you've got these things going. So with your business, and what was it called again?
Crackling Media.
Okay. Yeah. And also mention how people can follow you on social media.
Personal social media, mostly I use Instagram, so it's IEatBlog.
Yep.
It's the same handle for Twitter.
Okay.
I've got a blog site, which is I Eat Therefore I Am, so very philosophical, you know, off the Descartes, you know, I Eat Therefore I Am. Obviously for the business one, it's cracklingmedia.com.
Yep.
So that is more about work-related stuff,
so
they can look at what we've done and different things that we can do.
Yeah,
So those are probably the main channels.
Okay, and who are your core clients? I mean, who are they? Where are they coming
they're,
from?
They're like, it's probably 90 to 95% are all hospitality businesses.
Okay.
So you know, within Melbourne at this moment, but we're starting to branch out into other aspects, such as doing workshop trainings.
Yep.
Eventually, I want to do like what I did back for engineering, like a lot of process sort of consultation work.
Yep. Yeah. Makes sense to do that. Yeah.
Oh, that stuff I do. People hate process, but I love process.
But having it set up for somebody else that they can just run with it makes it a lot easier.
Right.
Not everybody has that kind of mind.
Yes.
Makes it that way. So, all right. Well, we're going to be coming back and chatting a bit more. It is 28 degrees in Melbourne and 19 minutes to 2.
I was at work.
I was riding my horse.
I was microwaving a watermelon.
My iguanas escaped.
There are lots of reasons why you may have missed your favourite show, but don't worry, because our podcast team has you covered. They'll work through rain, hail and national glitter shortages to bring you the best bits of every show. Visit joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab, or head to the iTunes Australia podcast store and subscribe to your favourite shows for free. Thanks to our podcasters, you'll never feel guilty about missing a show again. Joy.
Welcome back to Cravings. In the studio today, we have Tan Do with us, and we are talking all things about food blogging and food industry and trends and that sort of issues that concern us all and how it affects us all. Moving ahead, what's the future hold for you? You still just want to continue, obviously, doing what you're doing?
And definitely.
I heard a little bird talk about podcasting and things like that.
Oh, definitely. Right? Yeah. As I said to you previously, like when I found out one of my friends, she used to run a podcast that was very successful for food. I love this medium because I'm such an avid listener to podcasts now. Because
how often do you listen to podcasts?
All the time, at least like every day.
Food related? Or
no, definitely not all food related. Yep. A variety of topics.
Yep.
But I find it's got more time for people to really delve into things, whereas in society now we're so used to snippets of things, like a short tweet, a short 2-minute video of something.
Sure.
That this medium lets you really dig into a topic and at least sort of start to scratch the surface of it. So I would love to start a podcast.
It's interesting too, because it's quite a huge thing, and it's a great concept, because if you're not listening, like for example, to this radio show live, you can listen to our podcast on the website, which is great.
Yeah,
which will come out on Monday. but you know, it's an opportunity to not miss out.
That's
right. You can download it and listen to it in your own time.
Yeah.
You could be on a plane, you could be on a train, whatever. And I think it's a great opportunity to connect with an audience as well, and to be able to sort of give those insights to yourself, and also a great way to kind of create a buzz around your own, whether it's your business or something like that.
Mm. Definitely what put me onto podcasts was the podcast serial, which was about that murder case. It was gripping.
That's right,
it was so gripping, and from there I just started to look at every type of podcast, and there's so many that are really, really informative. Some are really funny, some are just a bit silly, but it all add something, at least to me.
There's a very popular one at the moment. I can't remember the name of it, but it's about some guy in the UK that wants to write a porn movie or something, and they've created this podcast about it. Yeah, and apparently it's the funniest thing on the planet at the moment, very popular. But anyway, I'll have to Google
it. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, exactly. But it's supposed to be very, very humorous. And and because of the innocence of the person who's doing it, and or innocence or ignorance, I don't know which one of those, but but it adds to the whole story, and it's quite telling, you know. We sort of touched on food trends before. In your mind, I mean, what do you think the current food trends are? I mean, you know, they're sort of, somebody publishes them at the beginning of the year always. And
I think there's like, you know, like obvious ones, like we're now, like, Melbourne's obsessed about all these poke bowls, you know, from like Hawaii. But in terms of food, I think it's become more and more, in one sense, segregated, which I find it's bad, because you almost have to say you're part of this, you know, group, such as like you, like the whole, I guess the most talked about one in the news is the whole paleo.
Yes.
Like, I'm paleo, so hence it must be this, and it must be this. So you almost have to align your whole identity to it.
Yeah.
But really, food's only one aspect of who we are. So we might eat something, but it doesn't make us that type of person.
Right.
So it doesn't mean that if you like eat a ton of burgers that you're this, you know, terrible person or something.
Right.
Or if you do this, you're this type of person.
There's a lot of food shaming going on.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, it becomes like you get shamed for what food you are, but you know, we're lots of things. You're not just one thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that, like, if you said, "Oh, I don't eat any meat," that you're not a petrol guzzling, you know, driver who like burns through, you know, heaps of fossil fuels.
That's right.
Like,
exactly.
So it suddenly means you have to ascribe to a whole sort of like theory of things because you happen to want to eat certain things.
That's right.
So I find it very disturbing, like to have this happen more and more, that, oh, I can't believe you're like eating all this dirty food or whatever.
There's no
such thing. Like, like you said, it's just moderation.
It is, definitely.
So it's being open to enjoying lots of things.
And I think one of the food trends that I know about, which I think hopefully will not be a food trend, it'll stay around, are a lot of food businesses trying to do things as far as community engagement and doing good things for the community, whether it's raising money or awareness towards different things. And that's becoming more and more of a popular thing. And
having a greater social conscience, which is great.
And exactly. And I think that's really an important thing to do.
Because one thing that we keep forgetting, at least living here, and I know, I'm as guilty as anyone else, is that we're so focused on the, you know, like, we'd like this thing or we didn't like that thing, that there are people in the world who are not eating, you know, like,
and are not as lucky.
We're worried about, like, you know, whether this is the best thing or the worst thing, you know, and like,
or if the chicken was
perfectly cooked.
There's bigger problems in the world.
Yeah, that slight MasterChef effect where it's made everyone's hypercritical.
Yeah.
Everyone's a critic, myself included.
Yeah.
Where we lose sight of what it's about, you know, that we're actually getting so much choice and we get to eat well and live pretty comfortably.
Very much so. And safe and sound for the most part.
Exactly. So that's forgotten a lot of the time.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we just got another email. I'll read it. It's from Marianne. It says, "Loving the show. Great job as usual. Tad and 10. And a shout out to all engineers out there. We love data and processes."
We do.
Most definitely. It makes the world go round, doesn't it? You know, you can't do much without them. We couldn't be doing this in here right now without them. Anyway, it's all in a day's work, right?
That's it.
Just again, getting back to what you want to do. I mean, obviously, the podcasting is one thing, and that's a big one
for me. Creating that, definitely, that's one aspect of something. But for me, I really want to pursue, like, you know, this whole path that I'm down now.
Yeah.
I really can't see myself going back to being in a job where I'm employed.
Yeah.
So, you know,
you just don't like people telling you what to do.
No. I don't mind that.
I'm kidding.
But hopefully that there's more doors to do more and more different things.
Yeah.
Because I think maybe, you know, 20 years ago, you might go, "Oh, that's my job and that's it."
That's right.
But now you could be like yourself, a chocolatier, master chocolatier. You can be a radio host.
Yeah.
You can do, you know, like process driven stuff for other people. So you can be a lot of things because technology is allowing us to work in that way.
Yeah, and I think
almost forcing us to work in that way sometimes.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think you're absolutely right about not pigeonholing yourself into something. You know, even if you do have a 9-to-5 job every day, you know, challenge yourself. If it's something you have an interest in, challenge yourself and try it. You never know where you end up. That's the important thing. And Yeah, I think it's just one of those scenarios that if you don't try it, again, that fear of failure that comes in, you're never going to know.
Never know.
And I think that's important. And, you know, and a lot of times that is that fear that comes into it. And it's one of those things that can make or break you. And I think at some point you just throw that to the wind and
that's it.
Forget it. We've had to do that, you know. Yes. I actually do that every day, you know, pretty much, you know, because it's you know, if you let that take over, you wouldn't achieve what you wanted to achieve. And I think it's also a point too of being your own worst critic. I mean, that can be good and bad, but just kind of challenging yourself to go to that next level or to do that next thing that you want to do, even though you don't have the time, you're tired.
Yes.
All those things, especially when you're running your own business.
Definitely.
It's one of those things in food business in particular, or food world, you know, it just is never ending. And
never.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's just, you know, sometimes I sit back and think, oh, I do miss a Saturday and Sunday weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Not often, just sometimes.
Just sometimes, yeah, not often, that's for sure. But there is something special about being your own boss. And
definitely.
Not necessarily doing what you want to do, because there's things you have to do every day.
There is stuff you still have to do, but there's more flexibility in when you do it. And it just gives you that, you know, different feeling that you have a little bit more control over what's happening. Yeah.
In your life, really.
In your life,
when there's so many things that could, you know, overtake that.
Mm.
Do you work with other people in your business?
Definitely.
At the moment?
Yeah. Like, you know, no one can do everything by themselves.
Yeah.
So I work with a very good team who have other skill sets. Like, as I've said, I'm a terrible writer. Like, I must have missed the lessons in grammatical writing during school because maybe I'm just good at writing reports, you know, like
you can't be good at everything.
Yeah.
Let's face it, you know.
I tried to design a document and it took me a week and it looked like a child did it. So I've got a graphics designer who does something, you know, I've got other photographers, I've got, you know, like accounts managers and all that. So definitely can't do it all by myself.
No, I think initially you do.
Initially
you
have
to, a choice.
Because you have a choice.
Yeah. And slowly you kind of realize
you gotta learn to let go of it and go, here, you take it on.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, like we were talking about that before, it is very important to realize that.
Yeah,
and that's something I struggle with even now. And it's not because I'm a control freak or anything like that. It's just you've done it for so long.
Yeah.
And you haven't had the help, and then when you finally get the help, you're like, oh, this is nice, you know.
It's very good.
Yeah. And it's just kind of it creates what you wanted to create in the first place.
Yes.
You know, I mean, nobody.
That's exactly it.
Because
you're still driving towards what your vision is.
Yeah.
That hasn't changed, even
that's right.
though there's other people involved.
Yeah.
You know, it's still that central vision that you had that you're still driving towards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by not letting it go or giving those aspects up, you just won't achieve it.
Yeah.
And that's whole
exactly.
thing. It's sort of that dichotomy, really, isn't it? It's sort of one of those things that. It sounds strange on one hand, but on the other hand, it has to happen.
It has to.
Yeah.
Because one person alone cannot do it all.
Like, no, that's right. Although you think you can. And for a while, you have to. But it's quite interesting. All right. We're going to come back with some closing comments. But it's currently 28 degrees in Melbourne, 6 minutes to 2 p.m. And we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Heston Blumenthal. You're with Pete Dillon on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Cravings. That Heston Blumenthal station ID was for you, Ton.
Yeah, and love it.
Off air, you said you wanted to tell a little joke.
I do. This is in line with, like, you know, my personality.
Yeah.
I told a friend I would tell this joke.
Okay.
Let me ask you. So there was two mushrooms at a party.
Okay.
So mushrooms.
Yeah.
What did one mushroom say to the other mushroom?
Okay. You've got me there.
You're such a fun guy.
Oh, I get it. Okay. I like that one.
That's terrible.
Who told you that one?
That was my friend Aaron.
Terrible. So it's Aaron's fault.
Yeah, it's his fault.
I do like it. It made me think.
Dad joke plus.
That's all right. No, I like that one. Thank you for sharing that with us and all our audience. I'm sure they can, they'll be all telling that now later. I'm going to tell that one, go to the mushroom guard at the Pran Market when I get back there this afternoon. He'll look at me like, where the hell did you get
what
that
What are you talking
from?
About?
Yeah. Okay, so we blame Aaron for that.
That's
is Aaron,
it.
Is Aaron listening?
Yeah, and he goes to Pran Market all the time.
Oh, so. Okay. Tell him to stop in. I'll have words with him. But first of all, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you so much.
This hour
me.
Has just gone way too
it
quickly.
Has.
And I think we'll be getting you back in on a regular basis from time to time.
Back.
And we'll be chatting all things between here, there, and everywhere. And it's quite interesting. And just a few words. If you know, there's a lot of people obviously look to you as probably a mentor. You probably don't realize that, but that would be the case, you know, as somebody who's chased his dream and changed it into the food world. And, you know, and we touched on this a little bit before, but what sort of advice would you have for them? I mean, you obviously did your research. You said you read, you know, hundreds of blogs and, you know.
Yeah. So I think like there's always a theory now that you must like love, you know, what you do, that you pursue your passion. But sometimes if you do that, it can actually stop being your passion.
Yeah.
It's actually more about if you do a good job, in my belief, that you become more passionate about what you do because you're doing a good job, you know, and you're actually doing things well. And you actually, you still have to like what you're doing. So you, to an aspect.
Yeah.
You don't like every aspect, don't get me wrong.
Nothing's perfect, is it?
No. Yeah. So then you end up, you know, liking things more and more because you're doing it better.
Yeah.
And again, like with the whole food stuff, it's just to not take it so seriously. I mean, ultimately it's food, and as we touched on, that we're getting to eat a lot of it and all this stuff, but just to have fun a bit with it. And just not have that fear of failure and just explore other channels.
Yep.
And if you fail, it doesn't matter because you can do the next thing and the next thing.
Or go back to what you were doing. Exactly. That's the other thing. You know?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And I think too, it's also trying to maybe find an edge that is different, not just copying somebody else or what they've done.
Yeah.
Trying to find that thing that makes you doing what you're doing special and to stand out a little bit more. And that's whether you're in the food world or anything, really. It's quite important to do that.
Exactly.
And just being in tune with that as well. I think it's important to know about it and to and like I said, you know, being engineers, we talked about this a lot this hour, but you know, doing the research, doing those sorts of things that are important and making sure that we know what's going on and
exactly
the industry that you're wanting to move into. And you know, I think for myself it's probably one of the hardest things I've ever done, but I certainly don't regret it.
And neither do I. Yeah. It's been the best thing. Yeah. It's been literally the best thing.
Definitely. All right. Again, thank you for coming.
Thank you, Dad.
Thank you so much. And coming up on the Escape Pod with Mark and Sarah, we've got Lisa McGuigan, winemaker, and they'll be chatting with her and asking all sorts of questions. And I'm sure it'll be a great show. But in the meantime, Cravings will be back next week, same time, same place. And we will be talking to a few things. I can't really tell because one of them is a surprise and I've been sworn to secrecy, but that will be happening next week from 1 to 2. And Peter Dillon will be in the studio with me, which is quite exciting. And have a great afternoon and a great rest of the weekend.
Thanks for listening to another Cravings podcast with Pete Dillon, online at joy.org.au/cravings and live Saturdays from 1 p.m. on Joy 94.9 in Melbourne, exploring all that's finest in food and beverage across Melbourne and Victoria. Sponsored by La Spaghettata. Over 35 years of food, family and fun at 238 Lygon Street, Carlton. Wine and dine with La Spaghettata for an authentic Italian experience. Pasta, wine, seafood, steak and so much more. Dine in and enjoy the authentic sights and sounds of Lygon Street. Or order takeaway now via Deliveroo, Uber Eats or Foodora. Eat, drink, love with La Spaghettata. Call 9663 6102. Visit laspaghettata.com.au or find them on Facebook.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.